Welcome to Digging Deeper in Grace, a ministry of Grace Baptist Church in Cedarville, Ohio. Our goal each episode is to dig deeper into the scriptures with a focus on our most recent sermon. And now let's dig deeper. Hello, I'm your host, Bart Sheridan, and today we diverge from our normal practice of discussing this past Sunday's sermon with our preacher of the week, and I've invited three members of Grace Baptist Church to form a panel to discuss scriptural concepts of ministry in the marketplace. Joining me today is Pam Johnson. Pam has invested most of her adult life in the educational sector, serving as a professor, a coach, and I believe even a referee for a few years, as well as being a university administrator here recently, and no doubt numerous other roles at Cedarville University. Mark Herbst has enjoyed multiple career paths, most of which have focused on sales. He currently serves clients in the local real estate sector. And Joe Harkelrode, he rounds out our group. Joe has been a business owner for over 40 years in the residential and commercial construction industry. And each of these individuals are faithful friends, personally of mine, and fellow ministry leaders and laborers here at Grace Baptist Church. Thank you to each of you for taking the time to join us today. So let's go ahead and start with our scriptural focus in the book of James. Each of us is engaged in the local marketplace, and I know each of you has a very strong conviction and a commitment to live in a way that evidences, that shows your faith in Jesus Christ. Mark Herbst, how has our ongoing study in James' letter to the early church influenced your life recently?
Well, James has always been one of my favorite books, simply because it speaks so much to practical Christian living, and there's so many things you can put into everyday life. And this past week, for example, God used that passage to remind me of the tempting illusion of control. We wake up every morning thinking we've got our plan, we know what we want to do, we've got our goals, our objectives, our purposes, and that's all good. But at the end of the day, God is in control, and he changes it however he needs to, because he may have different purposes for the day, or you know, different people that he wants to put us in front of. And I've, over the years, I've had to struggle with giving up control. And it was a great reminder that ultimately, God controls my day. I've got my plan, but he may have a better plan.
And I remember a time when you were reminded that God controls the very breath that you take.
Yes, because I almost had no more.
Right. I remember visiting you in the hospital, and you were laying there wondering what was going to happen.
Yes.
So, and that can happen to any of us. Joe, Pam, anything you want to add on that point?
Well, I know my friends, sometimes we joke about, they'll say, so what's on your schedule for today? And I said, well, I have things written down, but I don't know what God has in mind for the day. So I'll find out by the end of the day what he really wanted me to focus on. And the other thing that's a little bit humorous for me about that is even the things that I think, okay, these are meaningful and significant and important. I don't know how many times in my life now students or faculty or staff have come back to me and mentioned something that I said or that an interaction that we had that really touched them.
Let me guess, you had no idea.
I can't even remember for sure what it was, but it just, it's kind of humbling, and that's good to help us with this.
Yeah, quick follow-up. I'll tell you what, you start the book, and it talks about trials and temptations, plenty of those in the business world, okay? The other thing is, the way James is written, it's like sound bites, we'd call them today. So be quick to listen, slow to speak. That's something I can just keep in my mind.
Yeah. We can all keep that in our mind. And I know for me, just the whole idea, I've been thinking through the passage that we're memorizing, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, and the whole idea of meekness of wisdom, that concept has been floating in my mind. And we're going to get there here in just a few moments, I believe, in a question that I want to pose to you. But whether it's the business world, the educational establishment, government, or whatever it might be that we're involved in, the world calls us to do something other than be meek and tempts us to do that. And so I want to get to that here in just a few moments. But in our study from this past week in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, the point of the sermon discussed, or the first point of the sermon, I should say, discussed presumptuous planning, presuming upon the future. But it does seem pretty clear from other scripture passages that James is not suggesting that we should not plan. So each of you, I know, have built financial time and maybe other budgets for much of your respective careers. But Pam Johnson, how do you interact with James' teaching on this point when you're talking about time, when you're talking about finances?
Well, it's clear the word presumptuous is pretty key in that. It doesn't say no planning, just right. kind of go with the flow, although I had a husband that kind of liked the serendipitous and the kind of go as it went kind of thing. But he also did planning and actually enjoyed the planning. Mm-hmm. And so I think the key there is to focus on, okay, what's it mean by presumptuous planning? Well, for me, the key thing it means is that I know, and therefore mm-hmm. I can make all kinds of plans that I can count on. And the fact is, I don't know. And I have to gather what I can know, and that has to be guided by the Word. It has to be guided by the Spirit. So when I jump into something without really prayerfully considering it first, in a way that's presumptuous planning, Bart. Right. It just, it's unwise at best. And it also, you can start getting almost caught up in it. It almost feeds your pride.
Mm-hmm.
It does feed your pride. And you think, okay, I'm going to make this happen, and then I'm going to make that happen. And of course, then, this will happen, and that's going to be perfect. I think we come out of the pandemic, or at least hopefully are on the tail end of a pandemic, and realize how many plans we had that were not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we were careful. We thought we were planning good things. And so I think that the key there that I just keeps ringing with me is the planning I'm doing, which is essential in my position. You know, I'm working on spring 22 right now as far as plans. So, but to be presumptuous and not ask the Lord's direction and guiding in that process, it's just foolish. It's just mm-hmm. foolish. And so to have that planning, and then to assume up front, this may not go this way, and when it doesn't, I need to stay ready and figure out, all right, what should I have considered, and what did I forget this time?
Good.
Joe? So, yeah, Joe, do you have some other thoughts?
I appreciate that, Pam. When I just think about this matter, there's a verse that rings in my head from the end of Psalm chapter 21. It says, man prepares the horse for battle, God wins the victory. Hmm. And somehow that little statement balances it for me. Hey, I've got a lot of responsibility here, but I want to do my part, but it's certainly up to the Lord as to what the outcome is.
Yeah. I know we all were affected about 13 years ago by a great recession in 2008. I know the real estate industry that Mark and I are involved in just crashed. Mark, I believe you had just gone through a career change not too long before that, about 2000.
Right at that point? Well, 2009.
Boy, your timing was great.
People have told me that was the best time to enter real estate since Noah came off the ark. actually, it was the worst time to enter real estate.
Oh.
But it was one of those things. That wasn't my plan for my career. I had a very different plan.
Sure.
I was in a different industry that I had a passion for and loved. But at that point, God said, no, I want to put you somewhere else, and you're not going to understand it now. And I didn't. You're just going to have to work through it, and I'll make it clear, and he has,
mm-hmm.
that this is where I want you. This is where your talents lie. This is where your passions lie. And all of the things that you've done up to this point has really just been me training you and getting you prepared to do what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he just put me in a new position. Again, it's that illusion of control. January 2nd, 2009, I thought I knew my course. I thought I was in control. January 3rd, that completely changed, and I'm finding myself starting something completely new.
Right.
And at the time, fortunately, God gave me the support I needed through three key people. One, my wife, who said, yes, we'll get through this. God's in control.
Oh, great.
You can do this. She's my biggest fan. Second, my brother said, who was also in real estate, said, no, you can do this. You can make this work. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. And then the other person sitting at this table, Joe Harkleroad, said, oh, yeah, real estate's a great opportunity for you. Those were the only three that said, yes, this is good for you. And that God used that to keep reminding me I'm in control and I have a plan. You have a plan too, mine's better.
And for those who don't understand what Mark is saying, that is a time when the real estate market crashed, and many, many realtors who had come into the industry because it was so great, everything was selling, they were leaving. Mark went against hundreds and thousands in the industry who were getting out. He was coming in.
I was swimming upstream.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Very good. Well, so what I hear from all of you is that, yes, we make plans. We pray over our plans. We seek God's counsel. We make plans based on the information that we have, but we hold them loosely, I think, is probably what the best way to picture that. Hold them loosely and say, God, what next? And always be ready. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I've heard numerous people say he often just illuminates the next step. Mm-hmm. And we need to be alert to that. Well, our church is memorizing chapter 3 of James, verses 13 through 17 during this study in James. And verse 13 talks about the meekness of wisdom. And verse 14 talks about bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Now, the forces of the marketplace, I made comment about this earlier, they make meekness seem so unattractive, and they really seem to promote, those forces seem to promote jealousy and selfish ambition, and they make it so attractive. Joe, share with us how you've worked to follow James' teaching here. Meekness of wisdom, selfish ambition, and bitter jealousy.
Bart, it's a tough one. I think it's a lifelong pursuit of trying to have this part of godliness in our lives, in my life certainly. I think the principle that I just wrap my head around with the meekness and this whole perspective is humility. Am I a humble person? Am I a humble servant leader? Because the leader part's got to be there. You have to have a voice, an authoritative voice. You have to have direction. You can't just wimp out. You've got to step up, but yet you need to do it humbly, just like Philippians 2, of course, speaks of the Lord Jesus himself. Kind of an interesting connect for me is in a secular business literature, if you will, there's a man, his name is Jim Collins, and he wrote a book, Good to Great. And I was fascinated when I read that book that what he discovered when he went out to try to find out what are the underlying principles, what are the foundational pieces that are in every, or consistently in every great company in this country. And you know, the first thing he found, to his surprise, was humility. That the top leaders of these companies were humble in spirit and they demonstrated servant leadership. Now, it shouldn't surprise us at all, it did Jim Collins, because these are the principles of the Word of God. And those principles, whether it's natural law or the principles of character and how God, you know, works his plan within us as his created beings, those are uniform and consistent. Whether you are a believer in Jesus or not, those principles still apply. And then right there in James 4:6, it says he gives grace to the humble.
Right.
We are looking for his grace, we're acknowledging his grace, and it's through that portal of humility is what I'm understanding.
And it's a greater grace, mm-hmm. he calls it. Pam, Mark?
When we first started memorizing this, I struggled with that. It just seemed like an awkward phrase, and it was partly because I really hadn't thought through wisdom that way, and to think through meekness. And meekness is one of those concepts that we use the word, but we don't fully understand it well sometimes. Mm. But the idea of strength under control. And then I started thinking about the genuinely humble people I know, and I realize these are very, the ones I really know are very powerful people, but they never blow off. They never put themselves first. I mean, I just start going down and I look at scripture, I look at Christ's life, and I'm like, okay, that's what I'm going for. That's what I need to go for. So I love that we're memorizing this passage, because that phrase is now stuck in my brain. And it's starting to influence things. And I'm like, wait, is this meekness in wisdom? Or, right. or where are we going here? So I've really appreciated that.
Scripture has a way of doing that.
It does.
Yeah. Odd way of doing that. Well, we talk regularly on the podcast, and Mark, you mentioned it here briefly about the importance of personal discipline and discipleship, building into other people. any of it can share. And Mark, why don't you start, because you kind of started this.
Yep.
Share what role discipleship has had in your spiritual growth within the context of your role in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you counsel a young Christian who is just starting a career as it pertains to discipline and discipleship?
Well, a couple things. I think there are some mindsets we need to keep within us, because it's very easy to go astray if you're not careful, because pride is very subtle and it creeps in and you don't even realize it sometimes. And I think the first thing we need to understand is that none of us make it alone. There is no such thing as the self-made man. Somebody mm-hmm. somewhere along the way taught them, helped them, and we all need that. And since the attitude we should have is, since someone helped me, when I succeed, when I grow, I need to help someone else mm-hmm. along the way, pay it forward, if you will. And I've had people in my life that have reached out and helped me, both from a career standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, with my spiritual walk. And at the same time, I understand that I need to help other people also. Mm-hmm. So that kind of speaks to our why. Why are we in business? I believe whatever career path or whatever vocation God has for you, He not only gives you the talent and the ability and the resources to do that well, He also gives you a passion for it. And we know when we know why we like doing something. I know mm-hmm. why I like real estate, what drives me with that. It helps us serve people better, because God put us on earth not just to be served or not just to succeed, but to serve others. So when we think about our career, when we think about our business, whatever we do, it doesn't matter whether you're a doctor, a teacher, a plumber, electrician, it doesn't matter what you do, you are serving people. God gives you the opportunity to serve people. And through that, He gives you the opportunity to be a witness and a testimony. And we need people to help us learn how to refine that. Now, if you just operate under biblical principles, you will stick out like a sore thumb in the marketplace, no matter what business or what career path you're in. And because of that, people will be drawn to you. You know, Jesus, speaking of His crucifixion, said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me." Same thing happens in the business world, in the work world, in both my previous life, my previous career, and in real estate. I've had people come to me out of the blue and ask me a non-business related question because they were going through something. And I've never said anything to them about my belief or my faith or anything. It's just they recognize that and they have questions and they will ask. And that's God opening a door. So when you get up in the morning, your mindset should be, you know, I've got my plans, I know what I want to accomplish, but God, show me what you want me to do. Help me make a difference in someone's life today. Help me make someone's day. You know, that's always one of my goals every day. Help me make someone's day, whether I make them laugh, whether I do something for them they weren't expecting, but help me have an impact on someone. Because selling homes is great. Getting someone in their dream home, making their dream come true, that's very gratifying. It feels great. But at the end of the day, it's temporal. It's not eternal. So, you know, if I'm starting out in business, the one thing I would want to say is, figure out what your passion is, what your why is, and then how are you going to make a difference in people's lives through that? How's God going to use you? Because He didn't put us here just to be successful. He wants to use us to draw people to Him. And the more we focus on that, the more our radar will be up. It's amazing how many more opportunities will pop up, and people will actually come to you and ask you questions.
I want to jump on that concept, Mark, because I think it's such a key concept. Over the years, the church and Christians in general have struggled with a sacred versus secular dichotomy. Mm-hmm. And I don't see it in Scripture, because everything in Scripture says what you do, do is unto the Lord. It says do it well, do it faithfully, do it with meekness of, in the meekness of wisdom. And what I hear you saying is, what I tell people, this is your ministry. This is your main focus of ministry. It's not when you're here in this building at Grace Baptist Church on Sunday or on serving another ministry, what we call ministry. You are ministering as you sell a house.
Right. Everybody has a ministry, whether you know it or not. It wasn't an option when you signed up. You will have a ministry. The question is, okay, with the things that I hear on Sunday, how do I live that on Monday?
Right.
How does that become part of not just my life, but my business, my practices, my reputation? How do I make that real to people who aren't hearing this? How do I be a living example?
Great.
And I think one of the things that the Lord has taught me multiple times, shall we say, is a spirit of gratitude. needs to permeate all that I'm doing and thinking, even. And one of the things I've begun doing that is fascinating to watch people's response to is I've thanked them for working. Now, that's kind of interesting right now because there are a number who are choosing not to work, it appears. Mm-hmm. And but it genuinely kind of catches them to... And even yesterday, I did it. And I said, thank you. Thank you for saying that. But I was genuine. I appreciated the fact that they were working, because if they weren't working, I couldn't be doing, they couldn't be serving me in this business.
Right.
And so having that spirit of gratitude everywhere, just everywhere, even among other believers. Now, there's a thought, too, that might be one we could forget more easily.
Do you think it's harder? You work in an institution or for an institution with mainly other believers.
Correct. Correct. I said it's...
How difficult is that sometimes?
It's an interesting blessing that I have been able to be a part of an organization that is sold out to the Lord. And there's never been a doubt in my mind that that's true about Cedarville University. But I've also found that other believers aren't always perfect. Oh, we aren't perfect at all. Yeah. We are perfect in Christ, and that's as far as it goes. So then learning when I start getting a little anxious or irritated, it's like, okay, where's this coming from? And just pulling back, which is not my nature, rather than lunging forward, which is much more consistent with my nature. But to pull back and say, why am I getting irritated? Why am I getting angry? And it goes to a pride. Invariably, it goes to some aspect of pride. And it's like, all right, what does my response need to be? At first, as a younger believer, I just didn't say anything. And I began to think, but they're not doing this well. And so now I'm trying to figure out, what can I say and when can I say it that they can hear it?
Wisdom speaking there.
And that's, again, for me, that's the strength under control, when what I want to do is blast, but that wouldn't be able to be heard. And then, so to then seek an opportunity to find that I can be heard and possibly help.
That's for one who's in authority, under authority, in a marriage relationship, a parent, whatever it might be, church leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, that great, great wisdom there. Joe Harkerode, you have the opportunity to share one principle that has guided you in your career as a follower of Jesus. What is that principle?
It's probably, the wording of it is not original with me. I probably picked it up long ago, but it stays in my head, and it does guide me. People first, prophets follow. People first, prophets follow. So what's behind that is obviously... dignity and respect of the individual, true care and concern for clients as people. So in a confusing world with all kind of things flying around, people really know if you're genuinely concerned and have their best interest in mind and heart. And if that is a guiding principle, everything else seems to fall into place.
Amen. Mark Herbst.
For me, it's a passage from Philippians 4. Keep your mindset. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. So what do you control, or how do you control your mind? What do you think about? What is your expectation?
When the deal is blowing up.
Yeah, I mean, things happen, and they're out of our control.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it all comes down to our mindset. I'm a big believer in keeping your mind stayed on the positive. I ask agents all the time, you know, where's the most valuable real estate in the world today? And they'll say Manhattan, Hong Kong, you know, California, wherever. And actually, the most valuable real estate in the world today is about 6 inches square, and it sits right between your ears. And if you don't own this real estate up here in your head, that means somebody else owns it, and they're controlling you. So you've got to control your thought process, you know, because if you control your thoughts, you have a better opportunity to control your actions when things surprise you, go south, or your plans don't work the way you thought they were going to. Plus, it just makes it easier to live in general. So, you know, I'm a big believer in Philippians 4. Control your mindset. Control what you think about, and it will just make your day so much better.
Be disciplined.
It's easy to say, incredibly hard to do. Because as soon as you say that, something creeps into your mind, and if you don't nip it quick, all of a sudden you're discouraging yourself, you're depressing yourself, you're getting angry, and you really need to control that.
Own that 6 inches of real estate. Great. Mm-hmm. Pam Johnson.
That's a great line. I think the principle, I've kind of grown up spiritually in where I work, and I've had disciplers all around me in a variety of ways. And one of the things that I've learned as I've watched and listened is to make sure I pull back, and that's the first step, and then try to say, okay, what's God's perspective on this? In light of eternity, what is God's perspective on whatever? And that has guided me amazingly well. I had a situation where I didn't get a promotion or an appointment to a position that I absolutely deserved. and God and I had quite a discussion late one night, the middle of the night. And literally, I don't know that he speaks to me literally, but in that moment he did. And he said, I'm either sovereign or I'm not. Make your decision. And that was pretty humbling, but it was also just another reminder of what is God's perspective on this. And so if he has allowed me not to get this position, then what am I supposed to be learning from this? Where do I go with this? And it took a little while, but I now am old enough to know what he was doing. That's a huge advantage, candidly, of being a little bit older, is I can look back at those times. And that's the beauty now of the position I get to be in, is that I can share those very real life experiences. So understanding God's perspective on every aspect of my life and then sharing that with others.
And I'm very happy to be able to report to anybody who's listening that these three individuals are very faithful to share those principles. And I certainly appreciate the impact that you've had on our church and on my life in particular. So big thank you to Pam Johnson, Mark Herbst, and Joe Harkleroad for joining us and sharing with us today. And you can access recent sermons as well as past episodes of our podcast by visiting gracecedarville.org on the World Wide Web and clicking podcast on the media tab. We invite you to join us next time. We'll be continuing our study of God's Word in James chapter 5. And until then, I'm your host, Bart Sheridan, thanking you again for tuning into this week's episode of Digging Deeper in Grace.
Digging Deeper in Grace is a ministry of Grace Baptist Church in Cedarville, Ohio. Visit us online at gracecedarville.org and join us next time as we continue our discussion. In the meantime, we invite you to continue digging deeper in grace as you read God's Word.